Radio MD. RadioMD.com.
As a cardiologist and a chef, Dr. Michael Fenster has combined his culinary talents with cutting-edge medical expertise and insight. It's time for Code Delicious with Dr. Mike.
Hello, Food Nation, Healthy Nation. Are you ready for the scrumptious and the salubrious all wrapped up into one tasty treat? I know that you are, and I know you know that means it's time once again for Code Delicious. I am Dr. Mike. We are brought to you by the great folks over at Real Salt. Hey, Nation, if you are as passionate about using real, authentic, wholesome ingredients as I am, make sure that you take care with your seasonings and your spices as well. You know, you want to use something that's pure, natural, like Real Salt. It comes from an evaporated ancient ocean from a time when the world was much more innocent and much more pure than it is now. No fillers, no contaminants in this stuff. So when you're out shopping, ask your grocer if you don't see it for Real Salt. Better yet, go over to realsalt.com, put Dr. Mike into the discount code, get yourself an extra 15% off courtesy of us. And talking about real and authentic, we have the one, the only Chef Luca Paris for Culinary CPR here today. Chef Luca is the executive chef, the owner of Luca's Mediterranean Cafe and the market at Luca's, located in Keene, New Hampshire. Folks, if you were there, you definitely want to stop off and have yourself a culinary experience, not just a meal, a culinary experience. I don't have enough time to go in. It'll take the whole show to list all the awards this guy's won, but he's been Restaurateur of the Year, Best Mediterranean Restaurant, Best Fine Dining Restaurant, on and on and on his accolades go. You may know him from the Food Network show Guys Grocery Games, where he dominated the competition to take home the trophy. Chef, thanks for being here today, my friend.
Big man, it's good to talk to you. I'm excited. I tell you, the best part of my week is talking to you about food, because we never know where we're going to be. Well, we know where we're going to start. We never know where we're going to end up. But at some point, we're giving out a recipe, and it's a lot of fun. And I think for people who might be listening to the show for the first time, to explain what happens for the next half hour is very hard. You will learn a lot about your body, how it reacts to food, how the food we're going to talk about is benefiting you, the food we're going to talk about. There's my English language. it will benefit you. But we're also going to talk about great flavors and ideas that you could use at home. We're going to give out a recipe that is always spot on. I feel comfortable with these because I like to use them. But it's not about the recipe that you're following. Take that recipe that we give you and make it your own. Do what you want with it. And add ingredients, take away ingredients. Usually by the end of the show, you know, Mike, you always give me like one or two things you would do to it. And I'm like, oh, I want to do that. It's so cool. So if you get it, if you're listening to this show, listen through to the end. Trust me, you are going to pick up at least one or two things. I learn three words a week from Mike that I've never heard before.
Most of which you can't pronounce in mixed company.
Exactly. And the best part about this is I forget them like 20 minutes after the show. So if you say them again next week, I'm okay because I'm learning three more. But it's really cool. I'm excited about the show, and I hope everyone has a good time today, because we're going to talk about snapper, red snapper. And basically you're talking about a fish that it's a low-calorie, lean source of protein. It's rich in all these vitamins, and you'll talk about that kind of stuff. And it's really good for you. And I know some people might say it has high mercury levels, but let's talk to you about that. But I love it as a fish. It's meaty. It's flavorful. And when you talk about it, you go ahead and Google right now, Mediterranean red snapper. You're going to see the very same composition of what we're doing on this recipe, but we just do things a little bit differently, and there's a lot of stuff you could add to it. But it's an easy fish to cook, and I highly recommend it.
And it is. It's very versatile. And folks, you know, you want to head over to chefdrmike.com, sign up for the newsletter before the show, either Tuesday, certainly in your mailbox by Wednesday morning. You'll get the newsletter. It'll have all these recipes, have some other related, you know, food and health stuff. So definitely want to head over there. Make sure you're on the newsletter. You get these, and then you can print them out, and you'll know the recipe as we're talking about it. Then you can email us any questions or comments that you can have. You know, one of the things I want to point out about snapper Because it's very important when folks are at a place other than Luca's Mediterranean Cafe, or if you're buying snapper, make sure you're getting it from a reputable fishmonger.
Yes.
It's a reputable restaurant, because red snapper, believe it or not, is one of the most substituted fishes in the restaurant industry and, you know, in the marketplace when you go out, because a lot of times you'll just get a fillet, and particularly if you're getting a fillet without the skin on the other side,
right.
You know, they'll substitute a lot of different types of white fish. I always like, you know, I'm kind of a obsessive compulsive type of person, if you couldn't guess. So, you know, I like to buy a whole red snapper because I'll use the head for, you know, stock, etc., the bones for to make a nice fish stock. But, you know, if you're buying it, you know, just make sure that you're getting the real deal, because you're paying a red snapper price doesn't mean you're always getting red snapper.
And I love, I mean, today we're going to be doing it as a fillet. It's a real simple recipe, but I love skin-on red snapper. You get a crispiness to it. You can tell what it is also, you're right. And it's just a wonderful dish. But in the case that you can't, I mean, there are substitutes that we could do with this. If you want to get striped bass or black cod, those are good substitutes for it if you can. But like Mike said, it's really important that there's a lot of other fish we could get into, fish that has been sold as something else because price works. The history of the restaurant business is littered with it. And one day I'll tell you guys a story about how I was even fooled thinking something was grouper when it wasn't. And I was like, wow, this is so good. And then I realized what it was. And I'm like, oh, what did I do? But it happens. But it's very important that you know where you're getting your stuff from. And, yeah, I really feel it's important. And when you talk about fish, if you could find your fishmonger, become friends with them. This is what my grandmother
Absolutely.
Taught me. She said, Grandma, you're always so nice to the fruit guy, the meat guy, the fish guy. And when we used to go shopping, and she says, well, why wouldn't you be? If you become friends with them, they're not going to try and sell you the older stuff. If they're never going to see you or you're mean to them, they're going to have to get rid of that stuff somehow. So I'm like, oh, that makes sense. When you know, and then every once in a while you get a piece you don't like, you go back, you go, hey, this wasn't great. What's up with it? And they realize that you know what you're talking about.
Right.
All of a sudden you've developed a relationship with them. Developing relationships with the people who serve you food is so important because they will care about you. Now, I like
Absolutely.
To think I do that with everybody because that's important to me, but not everything is like that. So develop those relationships with the people you buy your food from. Even if you think it's a big supermarket, you're not going to do it. There is always that one person there that will take very good care of you because you care about them. And that's as important as just knowing how to select food, is finding the people to help you select that food. Little tidbit.
You know, and I like to tell, you know, when I was at the university and teaching interns and residents, and, you know, I realized that they were overworked and I was overworked, and, you know, people can get a little short. But I used to tell folks, and it's a guiding principle, and sometimes when I'm worn a little bit thin, I got to remind myself, you know what? It doesn't cost any extra to be nice, folks.
Nope.
So
you're right.
Just have a little consideration. And hey, you touched on something when we get into the recipe a little bit. I wonder if you can give the folks some tips about, you know, how to cook the fillets, particularly when they have the skin on, so you do get that crisp skin, and then but you don't end up you know, tearing the fillet apart, because I know a lot of folks have issues with that. A lot of people are afraid to cook fish like that for those reasons. So when we get to that, we'll get you off on tangent to share some secrets about how to get that, because I'm like you, I love the skin on fillet, and then you get that crispy snap of the just perfectly done skin underneath. It adds a whole new, for me, textural component to the wonderful, you know, soft, delicate white flesh of something like a snapper.
Well, it's funny. We should actually call the show Tangents, because that's where we go all the time anyway. So
the unofficial title. Yeah, there we go.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you about mercury in red snapper, too, before we get there. Is that a concern? Is that something that...
Well, in any of the top tier predators in the ocean, so your tunas, your swordfish, things like that. There is some concern, can be some concern about the mercury levels. Part of that has to do with, where they come from as well, in terms of, are they, is it a salmon that's raised, in the North Sea, farmed on the Faroe Islands? Is it something wild from the Mediterranean? Is it something that's, Atlantic, Pacific, etc.? I don't eat any tuna after Fukushima from the Pacific, bias.
Yeah.
So that's because they migrate. So even when they come back, off California, they've been in what were clearly radioactive waters. So there is a concern, but it's pretty minimal. The only caveat is, particularly for women who might be pregnant, eating a lot of the top tier types of predator fish like that, there may be a little bit of concern. But for the average person, to really look at the data as a whole, the average person in the U.S. doesn't actually eat enough fish. So we're talking about, if you're lucky, sort of one, maybe two servings per week. I love fish, so I love seafood, so I end up eating. I've got a great relationship with the fishmonger, so I try to eat a little bit more for my own personal flavor profile. But for the average person, this is not going to be a concern. And we know, again, looking at the data as a whole, eating several servings of fresh, wholesome fish each week improves health profiles, less inflammation, less diabetes, less obesity, less cardiovascular disease. So my recommendations are, hey, folks, get out there, try this. You're going to love the flavors. And the more fish we can get folks eating, the healthier we're going to be.
And that's what, I said at the beginning of the show, folks are going to learn something today. I think when people hear about this and hear about mercury levels and this, that's all they hear, and they don't think about the other parts of it. There's stuff in everything we eat. It's the balance of...
Well, people don't realize there's mercury on the vegetables.
Exactly.
There's mercury kind of because it's in the environment, it gets out. So even when you're buying organic, the organic fruits and vegetables are they may have some level, again, depending on where they were grown with the mercury. It was, as you said, it was sort of highlighted in the news at one point, there is, a watch that you want to have for it. But, in realistic terms, eating fresh, wonderful fish like this a couple of times a week, you're not doing your body any harm. You're actually doing it a lot of good. And the way you fixed it, because I'm a big fennel fan, the way you fixed it, you're doing your taste buds a favor too.
Okay. So, and then we'll talk about fennel into this, because I love using every part of the fennel. And I didn't do it in this recipe, but I'll use the fronds sometimes as a finish, chop it up as a fresh herb. Oh, it's so good. Anyway, we'll get to that.
Mm-hmm.
So,
okay. Got me hungry.
I know, it's exciting. So in this case, we are doing the fillet. There's no skin on either side, so we're going to sear both sides. What you had asked me before is, how do you keep a fish skin crispy and still be able to cook it all the way through? With trout, with snapper, what I like to do, and this is... I just find it amazing. I actually don't ever flip it after I start cooking. I'll cook it the whole way, skin side down, and I'll always create a really crispy skin. So basically what I'll do is I'll get oil in a pan, and I don't use an extra virgin olive oil because smoke point will get too low on that. It'll be a good olive oil. California is putting out some great good olive oils that are great for pan skillets and doing that. So I'll do that I'll get it to a point where before it smokes, it'll be on medium high heat. But I want to be able to feel a sear. I salt and pepper or do any type of rub that I would want or dry rub that I would want on the skin side that I want to get that flavor from. So you could play with any. You could do a lemon pepper. You could do regular pepper, salt. Salt and pepper is just perfect either way. And then I'll get it into that pan and basically add a couple of pats of butter about 30 seconds in, turn the heat down to medium, a little bit lower than medium, and then just basically baste the top of the fish till it cooks all the way through. I'm going to get a really crispy skin on the bottom, and depending how thick the fish is on top, sometimes I have to finish it off in the oven, but it comes out incredibly moist. The fish is tender, and then the skin on the bottom is crispy. If you want to cheat a little bit, Wondra flour works wonderful. I don't know if it's healthy for you, but it doesn't matter at that point. That gives it even a nicer crust on the bottom. I'll cheat like that at the restaurant sometimes. But you have to be careful not to put it too high heat. Make sure your oil doesn't burn. Make sure your butter doesn't burn. It's this kind of nice balance. But by the time you're done, the skin is crispy. It's buttery. The fish is moist. And it's absolutely beautiful. But that doesn't have anything to do with this recipe. But yeah.
Well, one of the things, it does, because, you know, we might be cooking it. If I was going to buy the snapper and do this dish,
I would definitely do
the skin. Yeah, I'm going to do the skin on. But one of the things you've shared before that you and I both do is we'll salt, you know, the fish fillets, you know, before we use them.
Yeah.
It's almost like acts like a little bit of brine. I learned it as a Japanese technique, kitchen technique that they do when they have their fish. And I think that helps keep it. You know, a little bit moister in the finished product. And I think you do that too, don't you?
Yeah, no, I love pre-salting and brining. On a fish with, you could actually, on some fish, you could do a full brine where you do it in water. But the salt brining, well, we talked about that with salmon not too long ago, where you pre-salt it, the moisture is going to, I don't know what it does, if it retains or lets out or does what, a little bit of both, but what the fish comes out so much more moist or moisturer, whatever that term is going to be, and it's delicious. And the idea of a crispy skin, there's some people who absolutely love it. There's some people who hate it, skin at all on their fish. So I can't help them, the ones that hate it. There's no in between. There's no, okay, I'll deal with it. I'm either going to eat it or not eat it. You know, there's no in between.
I'll give you the in between. So I love the crispy skin, but if you give me that soggy skin, I hate it.
That's absolutely true. Yeah, no. If you make it soggy, I'm not even going to touch it. Yeah, it's this kind of potato chippy kind of addition. It's a textural thing. Soggy skin tastes like skin, you know.
Yeah,
crispy skin
Japan,
tastes like a chip. Yeah.
Yeah, and in Japan, they'll use it as a chip. They'll take the salmon skin and they cook it crispy over that open hibachi-type, you know, charcoal grill.
Yep.
And you get it literally, as you said, you know, it's like the world's healthiest kind of chip.
Salmon chips are delicious.
Yeah, just delicious. Absolutely. Yeah, we definitely have to subtitle our show Tangent.
Right? We go somewhere, and we have no, I tell you, and people listening right now, I told you, we don't know where we're going to go. We know that
we started in the Mediterranean, now we're in Japan, you know, toasting salmon skin over hibachi.
Salmon skin's delicious. We do it here as a snack for us. We'll clean off the salmon, and all of a sudden you see us eating salmon chips for dinner. So let's go back to the red snapper. In this case, we're buying snapper fillets, about 6 ounces each. Now, I like to, it's almost a marinade where I'm taking fresh thyme, lemon zest, minced garlic, and cayenne pepper, and I'm mixing that all up together, and then I rub the fillets with it. It's something you could do ahead of time. It's pretty much like a marinade. And then we could sear it into a nonstick pan, and it'll come out really nice. Something simple, because everyone has nonstick pans at home. It's a great way to do it. So combine the lemon zest, garlic, thyme, cayenne, rub it over the fillets, and nonstick skillet, cooking spray first, and then cook the fillets in about a teaspoon of oil over medium heat, 4 to 5 minutes for each side, until the fish flakes apart easily with a fork. That's all you need to do. You could salt and pepper this if you want to, but you're going to be adding a ton of flavor later on with your ingredients, and for some reason I didn't put salt and pepper, but I will always use salt and pepper in everything I do, so it's salt and pepper to taste. So then you have your fish, you're going to take it aside. The same pan you were working in, you want to make your sauce with that, and that's what's great about that is you've already added the flavor of the zest, the thyme, the cayenne pepper. You have the fish that was in there. You sautéed that a little bit. We're going to add red peppers, onions, and the fennel, and we're going to in the remaining oil, we're going to add that until we get crisp and tender. We don't want to break this down too much. I'm talking about dicing the fennel small, dicing it fine. So you're going to have the chunks of the fennel, but you don't want to break it down. You still want the flavor and the crunch of the fresh fennel. so you still want them a little bit crisp but tender at the same time. At this point, you're going to add the garlic and cook it just about a minute longer, so you break down and cook the garlic. You stir in the diced tomatoes. You could use canned tomatoes if you want. There's a lot of Mediterranean snapper recipes that use canned tomatoes. I like the freshness of the diced tomato. If you're in season, go that way. If you want to use a good can of tomatoes, you could do that as well. Reduce, simmer, uncovered for about 3 minutes until the liquid's evaporated. This is not a wet sauce by any stretch of imagination. We're not bringing in wine. We're not bringing in anything else. It's a vegetable. It's the vegetables. So salt and pepper, plus you already have the flavors that you brought in with the garlic, the lemon zest, the thyme, and the cayenne pepper. That's going to add into there. And then you reduce it down. Serve it over the snapper, then you garnish fresh olives over the top. Now, here's with these olives. This is, don't get a can of olives, those, you know, ripe can of olives or the pimento olives. Don't do that. Find good olives. You can find good Kalamata, Gaeta, Castelvetrano. I'm throwing out names that until you start just looking around, find the olives you like. Go to those olive bars, you know, look for different olives. And if you find an olive you like, take them off of the pit, chop them up, throw them on top. You could add them into the cooking process. I like the freshness of the fresh olives as a garnish, but especially when you have a really good olive, there's a little bit of brininess, there's a little bit of sweetness. Depending on the olive you like, use that as your thing. If you're using canned olives, you're really not getting any flavor. You have the look of the olives being there, but there's nothing like, when I say fresh, of course, these are all brined olives, but loose olives that you'll find. Almost every store now has them where you can find different styles of olives from different countries. So if you could get those, I would highly recommend them.
Yeah, and you can play with them too, because the different olives are going to give you slightly different, you know, types of flavor profiles. And one of the things, Chef, is that I noticed when you add the tomatoes, particularly if you're using some of the canned tomatoes, you know, at that point, make sure that you almost deglaze and get some of that goodness that's on the pan. Because once you add that little bit of liquid, or you add the fresh tomatoes and that little bit of liquid's going to come off them as they start to cook, you know, make sure you scrape up and get that good fond. I think that's really going to add, that's really what's going to, I think, you know, bring all those flavors together on that sauce that you're going to put in. This is just, you know, just so delicious. Like I said, snappers is one of my favorites.
What I probably didn't mention is what you could add in here too is, I mean, bringing in some more. So what brings in more flavor is your herbs. You know, we don't have to go heavy on salt to get flavor, because salt is a flavor enhancer, not a flavor in and of itself. But you want to bring in more flavor into this thing too. I mean, it's by itself, it's great. But by bringing in some more herbs, if you want to, you chop up some more thyme. You know, I'm adding green onions, and we have the fennel has a whole bunch of flavor. The chives have a whole bunch of flavor. You're really balancing all these fresh and aromatic flavors. But you can bring in other, if you like oregano. Oregano works great in this dish. You know, it definitely has that Mediterranean feel with the fish. So play with it. Take a look at this. Play however you want. Use fresh ingredients. Do we stress that enough on this show, you and I, using fresh ingredients?
I don't know. Do we ever even mention the word fresh? You know, I don't know.
I don't know, but I think that's really part of what you're doing is, If you can bring the fresher and the better ingredients into it, you have to do less to the dish. Those ingredients will take the flavors and run with it. You know, I've seen recipes that if you're going to marinate the snapper, it's, you know, a garlic powder, and then it's a lemon pepper mix, and then it's dry thyme and cayenne pepper. And I'm like, why do that? What's that going to get you? I mean, go with minced garlic that's fresh and the lemon zest and the fresh thyme, and all, you're going to see a major difference. And there are times and places for dry ingredients. This is not one of them, because it's a quick cooking method. Those flavors are going to pop. You really want to do the fresher, the better.
Right, and in terms of the healthful benefits that people get from garlic, from herbs and spices, things like thyme, oregano that you mentioned, you're going to get those from the fresh. You're not going to get it, you know, from garlic powder. And, you know, the title of this recipe is Mediterranean style. And that what you're talking about is a really important emphasis. You and I have talked about this Mediterranean approach. It's fresh. It's simple. It's a few ingredients. It's not beef bourguignon with 35, you know, ingredients and taking, you know, 12 hours to make. It's fresh. It's simple. It's about using, you know, the things that we have. One of the things I do, and I'd suggest it to any of the folks that are halfway serious about cooking out there, and I think you probably are if you listen to the program, is you can keep fresh herbs growing, you know, next to your kitchen counter in a windowsill type thing year round. And then you can, you know, grab some fresh thyme. And as Chef was saying, then you have a little bit of oregano there. You want to, you know, put a little fresh basil in there, chop it up and, you know, chiffonade it and put it on top at the end. You could do that. And so I always keep, a kind of a whole plethora of fresh growing herbs. I kind of go over the top. I've got a whole grow light with my little microgreens that I grow year round because I love those for the garnish and they're just little powerhouses of nutrition and flavor. And folks don't have to go that far, but certainly keeping a couple of herbs in a windowsill can make all the difference in your dish.
Oh, without a doubt, fresh herbs are the way to go. If you can get them, do it. And if you grow them. It's absolutely. And it's fun to have around. It makes the place look nice without buying flowers.
That's right. That's right. It's a floral gift for the chef. Chef Luca, I want to thank you again. A wonderful, wonderful meal you shared with us, Red Snapper with fennel. And folks, until we meet again, may the only pain in your life be champagne.